Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about a God story. A God story, not a story about ourselves, but a story about what God has done in our lives. I was reading this morning in Romans chapter 4, and I just happened to flip across it, and I'm looking at it in the Message version this morning. And sometimes I like to look in the Message version just because it gives you some easy to read language, but sometimes you'll see some things in there just from a different perspective than you typically see them. And it's talking about how Abraham, the father of the faith, about how his story wasn't a story about him. It wasn't about Abraham at all. It was a God story, not an Abraham story. But how he simply chose to believe, and he was credited to him as righteousness. He was right with God simply because he believed what God said, what God had told him, the promises that he had made him. And it became a God story, not an Abraham story. And the same is true for us today. Just choosing to believe God and what he has for us in our lives, to believe his promises, our lives can become a God story, not a story about ourselves, about his faithfulness and his unfailing love, but all that he can do in our lives. Let's get started with prayer. Then we'll take a look at this a little bit more. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves before our time of communion for today. Let's get started with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for you writing your story in our lives, for your amazing promises that you've given to us. I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness and all you have for us. And let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders. Keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So let's go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about our four fundamentals. And remember, it's good to keep revisiting, to keep rehearsing, to keep relearning these fundamentals over and over. Every day, as time goes forward another day, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. So our first fundamental, get positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness, transferred us into the light. Not that it was our own doing. God did this for us. He released us from darkness, transferred us into the light. That transfer is a gift. It's a gift of his grace and forgiveness and great love for us, his faithfulness to us. Not something that we deserved. It's purely a gift. And just receiving that from him, one of the greatest expressions of thanksgiving, of faith, is thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise is something like the gate. It opens us up and expands our capacity to receive all that God has for us and all that he wants to do in our lives. All these promises that he's made for us. But then that grace and forgiveness has got to flow through us. Just like God has forgiven us, he's loved us, we got to forgive ourselves. We got to give ourselves that same grace and mercy he's given us to love ourselves. And then it's got to flow through us to other people. To be positioned in the light is to be positioned in forgiveness on all three levels, receiving it from God, forgiving ourselves, walking in forgiveness with other people. To be positioned in the light is to be positioned continually in thanksgiving and praise and humility that God's treating us better than we deserve. To be positioned in the light is to be positioned in his love, to receive that love from him, to love yourself and to love your neighbor as yourself, to love as God has loved us, as Jesus has loved us. Love and light are one and the same thing. They're a person. To be positioned in the light is to be positioned in God, with God, abiding in Christ. To walk in the light is to walk in love, getting positioned there first. And then we're going to magnify that light, our second fundamental. We're all magnifying something every day, but Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. Be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. We're all magnifying something every day, and to magnify means to make bigger and to make greater. And we can magnify light or we can magnify darkness. God gives us the choice. To magnify the light is to magnify God and his amazing, steadfast, unfailing love. To magnify his word and his promises and his faithfulness. That all the promises in Christ are yes and, yes and amen. To set our minds on the things above, where God is working for our good. He's working everything together for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. To set our minds on whatever is lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. And to be thinking about it, meditating on it, talking about it, rehearing it constantly. That's how we magnify that light. But God does give us the choice. We could choose to magnify darkness, to magnify the issues and the problems and the evil and all the dark things that are going on. Now, this doesn't mean that there's not going to be evil and darkness and problems and issues. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. So spinning it back around, bringing those things back into the light. Start praising and thanking God. Turn the tables on them. That God, with God, nothing's impossible. Make him bigger than the problem. Magnify him as bigger than the problem. Depending on what we're magnifying, you're going to begin to experience some symptoms. And it's important that we become good at recognizing these symptoms. When we're positioned in the light and we're magnifying the light, everything feels free and easy and effortless. You see effortless change and growth happening. It's energizing. Your energy levels begin to increase. Usually positioned in thanksgiving and gratitude. And on the backside of that is this peace that surpasses all understanding. And the joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to flow. When you're positioned in darkness, magnifying darkness, everything feels heavy and oppressive, like there's a lot of pressure. There's no way out. You feel trapped and stuck. When you're magnifying darkness, there's the fear and the stress and the worry and the anxiety. Keep tripping and stumbling over things. Keep making the same mistakes over and over, but you don't know why. Can't seem to get out of that bad cycle. There's the dread of the future, insecurity, frustrations, disappointments, all these types of things. And learning to recognize those symptoms. And the good news is it only takes 1 second to change your focus. takes 1 second. This amazing gift that God has given us. It takes 1 second to get positioned back right into the light again. And then when you're in the light, you can see. You can know what to do. God has this amazing, beautiful plan for our lives. A God story for our lives. And he is faithful to lead us and to unfold that plan for us in our lives. But we do have to take action and do the things that he's leading us to do. What do you know to do today? And just keep it very, very simple. What do you know to do? Not the things you're unclear of or uncertain on. What do you know to do? Often we procrastinate and these things begin to pile up on the inside of us. And they block our clarity. You can feel that pressure building on the inside of you. What do you know to do today? And just begin to take action. Why? Because you're trusting that God's there with you to equip you and to empower you to do these things in his strength. You don't have to do them on your own anymore. He's right there with you to help you to execute these things that you know to do. Because he's helping you write the story. It's about his faithfulness and power and what he can do through you. It's not about you. And then as you take these first three steps, you get positioned in the light, you magnify that light, you do the things you know to do. It's something like tuning a radio receiver. And all of a sudden, your ability to hear God's leading and direction in your life gets so much more clear. It greatly increases. Each day, I think it's important to take a few minutes. Just get still. And ask this question, God, what is it you're trying to teach me or show me today? And just begin to write down whatever you hear. And he's going to begin to lead you day by day, one graceful step at a time, to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. So our four fundamentals, position in the light, magnify that light, get good at recognizing the symptoms of what we're magnifying. Do the things you know to do today and do them trusting that God's with you to help you and to equip you. And stay tuned in for his leading and direction as you go through your day today. So let's take a look at this. This is Romans chapter 4 from the Message version. Message version just gives us a little different wording, a little different way to think about it, a little easier to read version. The subtitle of this chapter says, Trusting God. Trusting God. Then it says, so how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But the story we're given is a God story. Not an Abraham story. The story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. I believe the same is true in our lives. The story God wants to write in our lives is not a story about us. It's a story about him and his faithfulness and his love and his greatness and how good he is. What we read in Scripture is, Abraham entered into what God was doing for him. And that was the turning point. Abraham entered into what God was doing for him. And that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. This is a big concept here. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. Some versions of the Bible say Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. His righteousness was a gift of simply believing in God. It was credited to him as righteousness. He trusted God. He believed in God, what God had promised him, what God had told him. And he trusted that God was faithful to fulfill. That was credited to him as righteousness. So let me go on. It says, if you're a hard worker and you do a good job, you're a hard worker and you do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. So if you work hard and you're deserving of your pay, we don't call your pay a gift. It's something that you earned. But if you see that the job is too big for you, that it's something only God can do, and you trust Him to do it, you could never do it for yourself, no matter how hard and long you worked. Well, that trusting Him to do it is what gets you set right with God, by God, a sheer gift. Notice the difference here between working and trusting. Between working to be right with God and simply trusting Him. If you're a hard worker and you do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages your gift. But if you see that the job is too big for you, God has a job that is too big for your life. He has a job that's too big for you to do on your own. Think about the Israelites going into the promised land. They couldn't do it on their own. Most of them looked at the promised land and said, hey, we're not going in there. There's giants in the land and we're going to get crushed. There's no way Abraham can have a baby when he's 100 years old. You see that the job is too big for you, that it's something only God can do, and you trust Him to do it, even though it looks impossible. You could never do it for yourself, no matter how hard or how long you worked. Well, that's trusting Him to do it. And that's what sets you right by God. And it's a sheer gift. David confirms this way of looking at it, saying that the one who trusts God to do the putting everything right without insisting on having a say in it is one fortunate man. Fortunate those whose crimes are whisked away, whose sins are wiped clean from the slate. Fortunate the person against whom the Lord does not keep score. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love, which is God, God is love, keeps no record of wrongs. So we see here in this passage today, God has a story He wants to write in your life. He's got a job that's too big for you and something that only He can do, but He needs you to just show up and believe and to trust in Him to do it. And what is it? Is it something you earned or deserved or worked for? No. It's a gift. It's a pure gift of grace. So He just needs you to say yes, to believe in Him, to trust in Him. What does it mean to trust? It means we trust His intentions. We trust His timing. We trust His character, that He's always going to fulfill His promises, that He knows what He's doing, that He's able to fulfill on these promises. He's got the capacity to do it. We're trusting that He can do all those things, that He knows what He's doing. He's got good plans for us. He wants to help. He's capable of doing it. He's got the capacity to do it. He's got the means to do it. What is our part in this? Saying yes, trusting in Him. Keep our eyes fixed on Him. Keep magnifying Him. Because you could look at this. We talk about magnifying light or darkness. You could look at this job He's got for you to do. And you could very easily begin to magnify darkness because it's too big for you. But you can magnify God because nothing's impossible for Him. So we're going to take communion over this. Heavenly Father, man, this is an amazing passage of scripture. I just like the way the message has this written on here. Father, we just thank You for Your story that You've got for our lives. And it's a God story. It's not a story about us. It's a story about You and Your love and Your faithfulness. As You loved us so much, You were willing to send Your one and only Son to die for us. And if You would do that, how would You not freely give us all things richly to enjoy? Father, we're just so thankful for You and for this opportunity to step into what You have for us. Not that we earned it, not that we deserve it, not that we worked for it, simply by believing and trusting in you. That our sins have been wiped away. You don't keep score against us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he said, "Take it. Receive it." See what? That he makes you right with God because of his one sacrifice, holy and perfect in his sight. Can approach him with freedom and confidence. He wants to write a God story in your life. Father, we thank you for this bread and just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so that we can have the cup of his blessing. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light, that makes all this possible. Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out today. Stay positioned in the light. Forgiveness, thanksgiving, praise, walking in love. Keep magnifying God as bigger than the issues and problems. He can do what you could never do yourself. Keep walking in and doing the things that you know to do today, trusting in him to flow through you and to work through you. And stay tuned in for his leading and direction in your life today. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.